You know, there's a really funny thing about sales. There's just so much to selling, right? There's so many moving pieces and components. But if we stop and we really think about it, there's just really three things that we have to become absolutely obsessed with. And in addition to those three things, there's one necessary evil. Now, I'm going to be talking about all four of those things during this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast. My name is Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin today, I have a few announcements for you guys. So, and they're kind of cool. I think they're cool anyway. So the first one is I have finally launched the new and improved website. I've had the same website and I've had, you know, some revisions of it. We've changed the masthead and some of the banners and stuff like that over the years, but it was like the same damn website since 2010. And it was one of these things I just kept putting it off. And I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, do you have things like that you don't even have a good reason for it? You just keep putting it off. Maybe it just scares you, or it could be a financial thing. I don't know, man. I just kept putting it off. But we launched the new website, and if you'd like to come by and check it out, visit yoursalesplaybook.com. Now, what I highly recommend that you do is just look around the site, because you'll find, number one, in the blogging section, we have over 2,800 posts there that go all the way back to 2008, actually. It's going to be coming up on like the 10-year anniversary of my whole blogging experience, man. That was something that scared like the shit out of me. And I can't believe I'm saying it's almost 10 years. In November of 2018, it'll be 10 years for me. So you can imagine, that's just like, especially like all those blog posts over the years, that's how we've been able to accumulate just so much material. And if you've read my material before, and certainly if you're a fan of the Sales Playbook Podcast, you'll know that there's one thing about my style, right? There's probably a few things you've noted about it, right? Especially like how politically correct I am and I never curse. But aside from that, you'll notice that I'm very big on specifics. I really don't have a lot of time for quote-unquote gurus and thought leaders who give me a lot of philosophical type of shit. It doesn't do anything for me. I need specifics. I need actionable things, like people telling me, do these three things. I don't need another conversation, like high level, highbrow type of conversation about value and value propositions. And I really don't need to be reading a lot of things from an evangelist that's telling me, you know, just how important it is everybody gets out there and embraces social selling, or why we have to be making more cold calls and all that. You know, that's all good. And I think, yeah, okay, once in a while, if you want to get up on the soapbox, so to speak, that's cool. But I personally find more value in somebody telling me how to do things instead of a bunch of whys and a lot of philosophical types of things. So you'll find on my website really just the facts, a lot of specific things for you. So stop by there. You're also going to find on yoursalesplaybook.com that I have a ton of on-demand training there for you, pre-recorded training. Right now, I'm guessing a good dozen, and we're going to be adding at least two a month in the months ahead, as we do all the webinars that have been scheduled for 2018. I've scheduled 24 webinars that I'm going to be doing this year. So if you miss any of them, we're going to be archiving them, and you can download them and view them and go through the content at your leisure. So that's the first announcement. The second one is we've hit a milestone here on the Sales Playbook Podcast. Today is episode 200. Episode 200 of the Sales Playbook Podcast. And I'm really proud of that. And the reason why I'm proud of that is because it was something that in the beginning scare the ever-living shit out of me of doing. Seriously, it did. I mean, I was scared beyond anything you guys could imagine to jump into blogging. And the reason why is that those of you who know me well know that I'm actually more of an introvert. And I just, I'm more to myself. And and probably the right word would be more of an ambivert, which, you know, when I have to, I can certainly turn it on and you know, be Mr. Dynamic in front of large groups of people and at networking events and everything else. But at the end of the day, I'm really an introvert, and I really like to kind of, you know, keep more to myself, I guess, just kind of the way I'm wired. And I remember back in 2010 listening to an interview with someone who back then was known. And he was fairly well known, but nowhere near where he is today. And it was Gary Vaynerchuk. And I remember Gary Vaynerchuk talking about things like podcasting and video and all these things. And the idea of podcasting just scared me at a really high level. And I remember thinking, well, so did the whole idea of a blog. So why don't you, you know, like, give this a shot? And the funniest thing, folks, is that back in those days, in 2010, I was working as a vice president at a $1 billion-a-year printing company, and no intentions of leaving or anything else. I was doing the blogging as a labor of love, and then this whole thing with the podcasting came around, labor of love, and then about a year later, after I started podcasting, through a series of like little life events and things that I've talked about before on this podcast, I decided, you know, I really kind of fell out of love with what I was doing, and I thought maybe it was time to branch out on my own. And because of all these things that I was doing, like podcasting and blogging and the LinkedIn stuff that I do and all, it made it very easy for me to start Castain Training Systems. So, but the final thing that I want to tell you about this whole like podcasting thing, I wasn't fully bought in on it. I knew that it was something I should do. And I did it sort of under protest. I did it, I'm going to say it was the better part of a year before I like somebody like changed out my glasses and allowed me to see like clearly, like with a better prescription or whatever. And I'll never forget, it was either Pat Flynn or it was Chris Brogan, and for all I know, it might have been both of them. And they were talking about this summit that they had gone to for online marketers. And someone at this summit was talking about the importance of podcasting. And they made a really good point, and they backed it up with evidence, like good facts and statistics and all. And they shared this study that was done or whatever that showed that the average person spends about 52 or 53 minutes in their car each and every day, just like going back and forth to work and all that. And they were saying that podcasting gives you like the opportunity to have a lengthier visit with people and a more intimate visit with them than just, say, writing something. So I want you to really think about that, like how much time you really spend reading something, especially throughout the day. You're reading lots and lots and lots of things. As opposed to, if you're listening to this, especially right now in your car, and a lot of people tell me that they kind of, you know, almost like you binge watch Netflix, a lot of people will binge listen to the Sales Playbook podcast because we have over 200 episodes of this right now, so that there's lots of stuff to listen to. But here's the thing, and this is where it really paid off, and I had like the wake-up call. That was the first part of it. But the second part, I noticed, like after I was doing this a while, I started hearing something from potential clients that really, to me, served as proof positive. People would stop me, hey, before we begin, Castain, I just want to let you know, you've been riding shotgun with me for years. And when I heard that, I realized, all right, man, mission accomplished. There's, you know, they're getting to know me. They're getting to know my personality. They're, you know, like I'm establishing what we always call propinquity, that nearness and closeness and kinship. And it really wasn't hurting my efforts. And I found that if anything, it was fast forwarding it. I found that people that were coming to me, either for my coaching program or to hire me to come out as a keynote speaker or perhaps an on-site training session or whatever, I noticed that in those situations, there was like very little attempt to negotiate with me. It was more talking about like some specifics and then just getting into logistics with them. So anyway, here we are, episode number 200. Now, let's get down to business because I've just spent about like 9 or 10 minutes not really giving you anything. And you guys know if you've listened to me before, that's like a huge pet peeve of mine. So before we get down to business, today is a day that if you're in the car, you're going to want to pull over and have a notepad handy or pause this until you get a notepad handy. In fact, that would probably be a good suggestion going forward. Just always have like your journal or a notebook handy when you're listening to this and do it in like an environment where it's safe for you to take those notes because I really don't hold back. I don't really get into philosophies. I'm always going to get into some kind of an actionable specific step that you could take. But having said that, I want to start with a free resource for you. And in a minute, I'm going to be sharing another few with you. But the very first one is this. I had started last year is one of my goals for 2017. I started another sales playbook community. So for those of you who already know this, many years ago in 2009, I started the Sales Playbook Group over on LinkedIn. We're now at about 60,000 people in that group. And I decided to take the party over to Facebook. And I started a much smaller group over there. I have about 280 people over there. And the reason why we have this sales playbook community, just in case you might be saying, yeah, I'm not really into Facebook or whatever. It doesn't matter if you're into Facebook or not, because we're really not talking about Facebook over there. What we're doing is we're using that real estate over on Facebook to have a group, a community of people like you and I, who simply want to get better at sales and do so in an environment where it's safe, where there's not going to be some asshole criticizing you or berating you in front of everyone else. And those of you who know me, and you know me from the Sales Playbook community over on LinkedIn, you know that I guard it like a protective dad, right, of his like 60,000 kids. Right. Imagine that. I've been pretty busy to have 60,000 freaking kids, but I'd get a lot of Father's Day gifts, man. So that would be kind of cool. But over on Facebook, man, we're talking about all kinds of things to do with sales. It's a place where if you have any types of questions, you can post it without judgment. You'll find people are very quick to step up and contribute and help. And also, it's a place where if you have some ideas and you want to help someone else, you know, it's a true community. So if you'd like to learn more about the community, it's absolutely free, by the way. I know there's a lot of people out there that the only way you can get into their communities on Facebook is if you buy something from them. They offer that up as sort of, you know, a place where everybody can talk about what they're learning and stuff. And maybe someday I'll do things like that. But this community that I have here for you right now is absolutely free. So if you want to learn more, you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/Facebook. Now it's time to get down to business. There are three obsessions and one necessary evil that you're going to need to embrace if you want to have an absolutely kick-ass 2018, 2019, 2020, and beyond. These are the things, and I oftentimes will talk about the three drivers of sales success. This is the same thing, but I found that driver is an important word, but obsession, man. This is something that, like, seriously, like to the point of like people prying your dead cold fingers off of these three things. You have to make it an absolute obsession, a part of each and every day in order to kick ass. So let's talk about what they are. Obsession or driver number one is getting new accounts. Now you can feel free to say duh, but now here's like the follow-up question that might shut some of you up. All right, well, the first thing that we have to become obsessed with is getting new accounts. So my question to you is, and you don't have to answer out loud, that look kind of silly and sound kind of silly, but you know, what's your plan for that? And you just saying, well, you know, I'm going to make it happen. See, that isn't a plan. That to me is more like something I would say amen to, because that's what I say at the end of every like prayer. And, you know, like, what are you doing to get more business? Or you might say, well, that's a marketing thing or whatever it is. No, it's really not a marketing thing. I mean, that can be part of their responsibilities, but their job is not to want your success more than you. So what is your plan to bring in more business this year? And, you know, especially what's your plan to show up regularly and consistently? And I think what, like, our biggest challenges in sales is that we only get around to hunting for new business many times when all the other things on our plate have been taken off of it, or like we reduce it like dramatically, and you know, we sneak some time in. And what I always say to people is, like, imagine someone trying to have a relationship with you who you don't know, they don't know you, and they show up in your life like for the next few days, and they're really giving you a lot of attention. But then they disappear for 6 weeks. Then they come back for a week and they disappear for 3 to 6 months. Then they come back, you know, for another 10 days. But then they're gone for another, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks or whatever. You get the idea. Like, they're here, they're gone, they're here, they're gone. Like, where do you think that relationship would go? Do you think it would ever have a chance to really blossom? Right? So, but it's no different with these, like, courtships that we're trying to have with potential clients. So we all have great intentions of like prospecting and everything else, but when we actually get around to doing it, many times, like, do you ever have that, like, I know I've been through this too, where all of a sudden you go, oh my God, man, like, it's been 3 months since I've prospected or whatever, you know? And I say that I've been there, whatever it is. Thankfully, I was there a long, long time ago before, like, I decided to make some changes in my schedule so that I was doing this regularly. So the first thing is, our first obsession is getting new accounts. What's your plan? And also too, is this a plan that you have, like where it's locked in, where it's scheduled? Because again, I'll get around to it. Oh yeah, yeah, I make cold calls. When do you make the cold calls? You know, is it Thursday from 9:30 a.m. until 11:45, and then again later in the day? Is it once a week? Is it twice a week? Is it daily? Do you have specifics? So that's the first thing that I want you to think about. And I have another free resource for you. If you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/1130, and I'll explain what that means in a minute, yoursalesplaybook.com/1130. Now, the reason why I've kind of called it like 1130 is not because I think it sounds like so memorable. It's because one of the things that I teach my coaching clients, it's for them to have, we call it an 11:30 plan. So again, if you have your notepad next to you and you're able to write this down, write down 11:30 plan. You can write that down any way you want. I mean, sometimes I think it's easier to remember it almost like the time of day, like write it down as like 1130, like 11:30. And each one of those numbers stands for something. The one in 11:30 stands for all the things that you're going to do on a daily basis. So as you go through this like worksheet that you're going to download for free, I'm going to take you step by step, where I'm going to give you ideas of things you could be doing in general. And then I'm going to have you break it down and say, well, you know what? There are things that I know on a daily basis that I need to be doing. Like, for example, I have some of my coaching clients, the way that they like to work is they do a 10 before 10 every single day. 10 before 10 is they're making 10 phone calls before 10 a.m. each and every day. In fact, I have a few wise asses out there that they're more like a 9 before 9, they call it. Like, they want to get 9 calls in by 9 a.m. in the morning and then go about all their other things. I happen to teach something even like a different approach than that, and we call it a 2-2-2 formula, where each and every day you're going to send out 2 emails to people that you're not doing business with. In addition to that, you're going to send out 2 pieces of snail mail, like a handwritten note, to 2 people that you're not doing business with. And then later in the day, perhaps a more godly hour, right? What you're going to do is you're going to pick up the phone and call 2 people that you're not doing business with. So, but there's lots of things when you really think about it that we want to be doing on a daily basis. There might be that one mega account that you have that each and every single day you want to be talking with them and maybe getting updates and giving updates or whatever it is. But whatever it is, you have to think about it daily. And then you're going to do the same thing. The second one in the 1130 plan is weekly. What are the things you're going to do on a weekly basis? So let me give you another example, what I do on a weekly basis, and I've preached this forever. Each and every week, I have at least three people from my LinkedIn network that I don't know yet that I want to get to know them better. I send them out an email, and I call it the I'm embarrassed email. Because in the email, you're going to basically say, hi, John, or hi, Mary, or whatever. Just make sure their name is John or Mary, because my experience has been that John gets a little bit sensitive when you say hi, Mary. I'm just going to tell you that, right? And you're welcome for that advice. But what you do is you reach out to them and you say something along the lines of, you know, we've been connected for a while, and I'm embarrassed that I've never reached out to you to get to know you better. What do you say we change that? How is your schedule looking for this day at this time, or this day at that time, or whatever, right? Or that day at this time, whatever the hell. And you do that each and every week. But there's other things you should be doing on a weekly basis. Maybe there's an email blast. Maybe there's like mailing out so many pieces of snail mail with a little handwritten note on it or whatever. Maybe there's some things with social media you want to do. Maybe there's other bloggers out there like me or podcasters or whatever, and you're going to put out some kind of content or whatever. But that's up to you. And then last but not least, the 30 in 1130 is actually every 30 to 45 days or 4 to 6 weeks, but really for the sake of keeping to the 1130, every, you know, like 30 days, what are you going to be doing? Like, what's a once a month thing that you want to be doing, or something that would be like a monthly type of activity? And you're going to think about that, but don't forget to make it easy. Get the free worksheet by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/1130. So obsession number one is getting these new accounts. Obsession number two is retaining and wowing your existing accounts. So obsession number two is retaining and wowing your existing accounts. So you could take that same 1130 plan, and you could now think about, like, in that same plan, you don't have to do this as a separate exercise, but like as like kind of part two of the exercise, you can look at it and say, okay, you know, part one was I was thinking about potential clients and what I'm going to do daily, weekly, monthly. Let's look at like existing clients. What should I be doing daily? What should I be doing weekly? What should I be doing monthly? Now, one thing I'm going to share with you right now, I'm actually going to share a few different ideas about this. I want to share an absolutely huge mistake that people make with regard to the needs analysis, right? We all know what a needs analysis is. Those are all the questions that we ask to really determine the needs of usually a potential client. And we do this during the courtship just to kind of find out if there's a fit, where there's a fit, how we can help them at the highest level, give them that highest level of value that everybody likes to talk about. You got to give value, got to provide value, right? This is how we do it. We find out what's valuable to people by, I don't know, like asking them questions. How cool is that, right? Captain Obvious time. But the mistake we make is that usually people do this thorough needs analysis during the courtship. Then they get married, and the only questions that people ask after, like, you know, everybody says I do and they get married, it's more what we call spec-related questions, meaning questions about, and becomes like more transactional, meaning, okay, I've got this project for you, Castaigne, and, you know, you sell these widgets. And then the questions become, well, how many, and what color, and what size, and when do you want them delivered? How do you want them delivered? Where are they getting delivered? Which location? You know, all this kind of stuff. So it becomes very, like, spec-related. And then what happens is that we kind of lose touch with our existing accounts. And if they're allowing other people to come in there and pitch them on their products and services. I don't know, like your competitors. Well, this is a really sad thing that happens. What happens is that these strangers that don't have a relationship end up by knowing more about your client than you do. Why? Because they ask the most recent question, and then you're relying on information that you got at the beginning of like the relationship. So that's one of the things that you want to do, right? You want to, and you can, the real quick fix for this, if you will, is to, we call them like account checkups. Like think about your book of business and think about the last time that you got together just to do a checkup where you're not talking about a specific project or this thing you're working on right now. You're going in there kind of between projects. And you're doing a good needs analysis because that information that you have might already be 2 to 5 years old. And with business moving at the speed of light, man, you might be quickly becoming irrelevant with your own like clients. And that's not a good place for you to be. But even beyond that, right, and above and beyond like doing this needs analysis again and doing these account checkups, I mean, you know, things like supplying them with ideas and giving them resources, things like that, kind of important, right? And there's a lot more to this one. But remember, obsession number two is retaining and wowing your existing accounts. Because, see, we don't want accounts coming in the front door and boogieing on out the back. So it's not just a matter of getting the accounts. It's not just a matter of retaining the accounts. We want to give them an experience where they're like in this state of wow. And, you know, that also includes things like when was the last time you surprised one of your clients with a no strings attached gift of some sort? And I don't mean something cheesy like, yeah, I bought you this, you know, $7,000 pen because I want to kiss your ass. I mean like surprising them with something that's valuable to them. And again, it comes back to an idea or a suggestion or even playing matchmaker and even like sending them business, things like that. The final obsession is growing the business. And this one in parentheses, you could put account development. So the third obsession is growing your business, right? And when you look at the accounts that you have right now, there are accounts where, yeah, I mean, you can grow it in terms of more dollars and more volume, right? But there are also accounts that you're working on where you have, say, like multiple divisions and you're not in all of them. So it's like expanding the amount of divisions and departments that you're working with. It could be geographically expanding with them and growing where, you know, out here in New York, I'm doing business with two of their locations, but they've got, you know, another like 8 or 10 out of state that like I need to get into. And then also things like products. And this one like goes out to all of you. But a lot of my friends in the printing industry, this one really should hit home with you. What happens in a lot of industries, by the way, this isn't just exclusive to the printing industry, but I can tell you it happens a lot in the printing industry, is, you know, we get pigeonholed. And what I mean by that is people see us as their vendor for A. But meanwhile, we offer B, C, D, and E, and they're buying it from like, you know, another 3 or 4 different people. They could be buying it from us. So we don't want to become pigeonholed. So we need to have a plan in there where we're educating people about all the other things that we could be doing for them. But we need to do it in a way that we're not this walking, talking infomercial, and that every time we're in a conversation with them, you know, we're like passing the hat for like a handout from them, like, you know, hitting them up for all this other business. So you need to do that. But yet, this whole growing the business thing and getting them into other products or services, well, this is yet another testimonial for doing these regular account checkups and that needs analysis thing I was telling you, because needs change. And people have this habit of, you know, making a decision on you, and it's kind of like, so it is written, so it is done. Castain will be my sales coach. And meanwhile, guess what, man? I'm also a keynote speaker. I've got online training that I offer. I have on-site training that I offer. I'm also a consultant. Yeah, and I hate that word, by the way, but I also do consulting. There's a lot of things that I offer. But what are you doing to educate them? What's your plan for that? What is your plan for growing that existing business? Now, the reason why I call these things obsessions, and I said in the beginning, is because you really, if you want to have a better year this year, you absolutely have to be obsessed with these things. And I told you what happens many times is that we don't get around to hunting for business because we're doing something else. We don't get around to kind of doing the things we need to do to keep up our appearances and retain and wow the business because we were doing something else. We don't get around to growing the business because we were doing something else. We are in this constant state of responding to things and putting out fires. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is probably the shittiest place to be as a sales professional. And I'm going to tell you why. It makes for a very big disconnect for us. We did not go into sales to constantly be in response mode. Part of the reason, yes, helping people and all that kind of good stuff, right? But part of the reason why we're in sales is because we like to be in control of things. And some of you are going to get a little bit put off with the way how I said that. So I'm just going to clarify that in case anybody's panties are in a bunch right now. When I say being in control of things, I don't mean for evil. I don't mean manipulating you. I don't mean like taking complete control. I am controlling. I mean guiding it and guiding you. But we are not in sales so that life and circumstances can continually guide us and put us in response mode. So if you've got this uneasiness coming off of 2017, it might be because you didn't control those three drivers, those three obsessions that I told you about. And again, I keep going back to obsession because here's my theory when it comes to it. I schedule every one of these things. And when it's on the calendar, short of a nuclear blast, I am not going to change that. Seriously, I will have flexibility, but I am not going to change something. I treat it like I would, like an appointment with a client or a potential client. I wouldn't just blow off that meeting because something else that was brighter and shinier came along. But here's like my biggest thing. Why is it that everybody else gets the respect? Why is it that, you know, like when like something else comes up or whatever it is, like we give them the respect? But when we put something on the calendar, like I'm going to make like cold calls on Thursday, or I'm going to go and work on some LinkedIn stuff on Friday, or I'm going to go and call my top 10 clients this week, and then something else comes along, then those other things are allowed to interrupt it. So to me, I treat it like any other appointment, and it has to be just like a real like dire freaking emergency for me to do it. And ladies and gentlemen, I am a complete and absolute prick about it. I mean, seriously, like I am not like nasty to people, but like to myself. And I'm like, no, you're not changing that. I have the flexibility to do it if I have to, but I know that, you know, when it comes to doing things, some of the things that we're doing are unpleasant, like, which like is taboo for a sales trainer to talk about this, but cold calling is not my favorite thing. I want to be clear about that. And I don't really believe these people. It's, I love cold calling. I think there's got to be something wrong with you to love people hanging up in your ear. And they get pretty shitty out here in New York. But I know one thing about me. Is that if I have on my schedule to cold call tomorrow, for example, from 8:30 a.m. until 10:30 a.m., I know that if I have something else come along, which I will, like, I don't know, like, you know, my client wants to speak to me or somebody needs a price on this or whatever it is, I would rather hang out with people who love me and I would rather work on a price than call somebody and risk somebody hurting my little feelings. That's just kind of the way it is. So this is why when I put it on the calendar, it stays on the calendar. But I also said to you that there's a necessary evil. So let's talk about that. The necessary evil, you ready for this? I should have a drum roll. It's admin work, your administrative time. I'm a big advocate of designating slots. Notice how I said like plural, slots, as in more than one, of admin throughout my day. And the reason why is that I found that The administrative things were taking me away from my money activities. What are my money activities? Those three obsessions, right? That getting new accounts, retaining, wowing those accounts, and growing that business. The administrative stuff, working on that proposal, working, in my case, I'm a one-man act, working on the slides or working on the script for the training or the worksheets or whatever it is. A lot of the email stuff that I have to do, there's a lot of little like plans that are going back and forth, especially this time of year with all the sales kickoff meetings that I'm doing. This week with a webinar that I have coming up on this Thursday. There's a lot of administrative things that are going on. And quite frankly, those things are nice and safe for me. There's no rejection there. I mean, seriously, that proposal that I'm doing is not going to hang up in my ear. So I would rather do that than get my ass kicked on the phone or maybe call a client and like I haven't spoken to in a while, right? I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. So I like to have designated slots. So my recommendation, you have to look at how much administrative time you're spending each and every day. And what I do, right, is I have at least two slots each day of 25 minutes apiece. For me, it probably, I say at least two, sometimes it's as much as three or four slots that I have, but they're 25 minute slots and I use them for admin. One of them is done at the very beginning of the day before like the game, like game time starts. The other one that I have is in the morning, usually around 9:30 or 10. And you know, the other one that I have, and again, like I said, sometimes I have more depending on what I have going on. I try to do another one at lunchtime. I have clients that do all of the above and then have one in the afternoon as well. But here's my rule. I set a timer on my phone for 25 minutes and I work on that administrative stuff. When that timer goes off, I'm done. But there's a little rule of thumb. While I'm doing that activity, I'm not doing other shit. I am not multitasking. I am not going to take a phone call when I'm doing administrative work. The same way that I'm not going to do administrative when I'm on a phone call. I just think I get better work and better output and better quality of the work that I'm doing when I'm focused on the task at hand. So that's what I do. And what's really cool about having multiple spots is that when things come up throughout the day, I could do kind of like a triage, right? I can kind of decide, well, is this something that I really have to like do today? Well, yeah, I do. Okay. So I've got, you know, I've already like hit a few of my administrative slots, but let's just say I have another one coming up at 3:30. I can put it right in there. For those of you who work with people and say your boss needs to talk to you about the damn TPS reports or your expense reports or some other shit like that, what you can do is notice how much respect I have for your boss. I'm like, yeah, and some other shit that's like taking you away from your money that you could do. But what you could do now is that you're not going to blow off your boss, right? But like, I don't think you should stop cold calling to talk to your boss unless they, you know, like they say that like HR like is getting complaints about you or something. I don't know. But like, seriously, like let's stop being in response mode all day and finish the shit we're working on. So my recommendation is like something like the boss or a coworker, somebody in operations, somebody internally or whatever it is, look at your administrative slots that are open like the rest of the day or tomorrow and throw them in one of those. But don't you dare go and say, well, yeah, I was going to make cold calls at 1:30 today, but you know, screw it. It's not important. It's only my ability to pay the mortgage. So, you know, F it, man. I'm going to talk to you instead and dick around in a meeting. Right? No, don't do that. And if you have something else, like a client needs like you to work up some numbers for them or whatever it is, you know, maybe you could put it into the admin time that you have for that day. So that would be a suggestion that I have for you. But now listen, one thing that I just want to say about this, right? And you remember before I was talking about calling it kind of like an 11:30 plan. You have the things that you're doing daily, weekly, and monthly. My suggestion is that you go through the exercise that I have for you in that free worksheet that I was mentioning to you. And what I want you to do is also set a recurring alarm for every day at 11:30 a.m. Now think about that, an 11:30 plan, and every day an alarm at 11:30 a.m. And you can label your alarms. I mean, how cool is that? Modern freaking technology, right? So guess what my 11:30 plan says? My 11:30 alert that goes off every day at, ready, wait for it, 11:30, right? It says, are you working? Your 11:30 plan, right? Like how, like freaking like awesome is that? Are you working your 11:30 plan? It's my kick in the ass at 11:30, because here's the thing. Days don't go off track at like 4:59, right? They don't go off track then. They go off track little by little. So why not make like a judgment call at 11:30 each and every day? Like, are you working the damn plan? Are you doing the things that you committed to daily, weekly, and monthly? And if you're not, you don't need to hang your head and cry and piss and moan about how shitty life is for you. What you can do at 11:30 is you could adjust. Think about that. You could adjust so you could get back on track. You're not waiting until after the damn game and saying, oh man, I coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? You're not waiting until 4:59. You're doing this shit at 11:30 a.m. So that would be my suggestion to you. But again, my other suggestion is that you become absolutely relentless when it comes to doing these tasks, because yes, there are only really four things that we're talking about here. Getting new business, we're talking about retaining and wowing that business, we're talking about growing that business, and then we're really talking about administrative activities to support those three drivers or obsessions that we've been talking about. But the problem is, most of us, like, I don't think anybody, like, listened to this today and said, oh my God, I never knew that I was supposed to be getting new business. This Castain is a genius. I didn't know that. Wait a minute, hold it. Like, when was the memo on this? We're supposed to retain the business that we get and we should make them happy and wow them? Like, Castain, man, you're really doing some cutting edge shit here. And, you know, I'm sure, like, nobody ever told you, man, like, you're supposed to grow the business that you have. And, yeah, you're going to have administrative things. I mean, I don't think anybody's saying that I'm a rocket scientist for saying those things. But really, when you break down the entire sales process, it's really going to fall into one of those buckets. And your ability to work those buckets with a G, buckets, right? We have a new sales playbook word to work those buckets. I think I might, I kind of like that word. I don't know what you guys think, but to work those buckets, work those buckets on a regular basis. Well, that's going to determine your success. Now, here's the deal, folks. You're going to need a plan to balance getting new accounts, retaining and wowing those accounts, growing those accounts, and the admin. And I'm actually going to be sharing my plan. And that's one of the things I want you to be thinking about in 2018. Maybe, and I say this with respect, and I would say this to you if I didn't sell this shit for a living, but right now we're going to have a little bit of a heart-to-heart. Maybe you don't know as much shit as you think you do. I don't. I can tell you that right now. I've been doing this forever. I've trained 20,000 sales reps, and I'm telling you, I learn stuff each and every day. In fact, I was just listening to an audiobook, and I had to stop that thing so many times to like ponder things this guy was saying and write down notes and say, oh man, I'm going to try this out on Monday and all that. And I've been doing this forever, man. I've been like, seriously, like I've read over 1,000 books. It's probably 1,500 or 1,800 at this point. All these reps I've trained, I'm constantly doing audio books. I have coaches that I work with, all kinds of things. And still, I mean, I don't know as much as like I'd like to. I mean, I'm a student of this. And it's going to be a boring day when I wake up and I feel like I know everything that I need to know. But I'm telling you, one of the things that might be getting in your way to success is that, you know, your ego's telling you, yeah, that's basic and that sells 101 and everything else. And meanwhile, right now, many of you have gone back to doing the exact same shit you did last year that didn't get you anywhere. So my suggestion is this. If you'd like to learn my plan and how I work getting new accounts, retaining and wowing them, also in terms of growing that business, how to work the admin in there, and just like a lot, like I'm guessing like 25, 30 ideas and tactics and tips to help you have a better year. And again, not philosophical, but like very specific and actionable. I would highly recommend that you join us this week for our webinar, which is Playbook for a Successful Year. We're going to be doing this on Thursday, January 11th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. If you can't make it that day, or if you're listening to this after the fact, heck, man, I have people listening to these podcasts like 3, 4, and 5 years later. The good news is you can still enjoy that particular webinar that I'm going to be doing, because I record all of them. So what you can do is you can get the webinar replay, you can get all the little bonuses and goodies and worksheets. And you ready for this? One of the things that I do differently than all the other people that are out there doing webinars is that I realize that sometimes your best questions are not going to be during a webinar, or sometimes you might not be able to make it, like, quote unquote, live, and you might be checking this out months later, weeks later, years later. But part of the thing that I try to offer is email access to me. So if you have any questions or anything like that, you could shoot me an email after the fact and say, hey, Castain, yeah, you were talking about these three things that you do to get more business. And, you know, I was wondering, you know, could you walk me through this part of it or whatever it is? And you will be surprised at how quickly I get back to you and how much, you ready for this, I give a shit about the people like who support me and buy things from me. So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to go to yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore18. yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore18. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit our brand spanking new website at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.